The Wrath of Hera. On the floating island of their birth, the newborn twins Apollo and Artemis had found themselves the focus of the Queen of Heaven's continuing fury. Hera had done everything possible to prevent the birth of these living reminders of Zeus's infidelity, and her frustrated rage at her failure knew no bounds. So she tried again. When the twins were just days old, she sent the snake Python to consume them. You remember the magnetite stone the pregnant Rhea had duped Kronos into swallowing instead of the infant Zeus? The one that he had later vomited up and which Zeus cast far from Othrys? Well, it had landed at a place called Pytho on the slopes of Mount Parnassus. Lodged fast in the earth, it would in time become the omphalos, or navel stone, of Greece, the Hellenic belly button, its spiritual centre and point of origin. From exactly the spot where it fell, at the command of Gaia, for whom this place was already sacred, there had emerged out of the ground a huge dragon-like serpent to serve as the stone's guardian. Taking the name of his birthplace, he was called Python, as have been many snakes in his honour since. Hera, in her anger, now sent Python to the Isle of Delos to kill Leto and her children. Zeus took the risk of incensing Hera even further by secretly whispering this news to the wind, which passed it on to the infant Apollo, who in turn sent a desperate message to Hephaestus, begging for the best bow and arrow his half-brother could fashion. Hephaestus toiled at the forge for 7 days and 7 nights, at the end of which time a matchlessly beautiful and powerful weapon and a set of golden arrows were dispatched to Delos, just in time for Apollo to take delivery of them, conceal himself behind the dunes, and await the great serpent's arrival. The moment Python emerged from the sea and slithered onto the sand, Apollo stepped from his hiding place and shot him through the eye with an arrow. He sliced the dead body into pieces there on the beach and sent up a great cry of triumph to the sky. You might think Apollo had every justification to protect his sister, his mother, and himself from such a deadly creature, but Python was chthonic. He sprang from the earth, making him a child of Gaia, and as such, under divine protection. Zeus knew that he must punish Apollo for the slaying of the serpent, or lose all authority. In truth, the punishment he chose for Apollo was not so very harsh. Zeus exiled the young god for 8 years to the snake's birthplace beneath Mount Parnassus to atone for his crime. As well as replacing the snake monster Python as guardian of the omphalos, Apollo was tasked with organizing a regular athletics tournament there. The Pythian Games were duly held every 4 years, two either side of the Olympic meeting. Along with the regular Nemean and Isthmian Games, the Pythian and Olympic meetings made up the 4 so-called Pan-Hellenic Games. The prizes do not really compare with today's lucrative purses and endorsements. An olive wreath for the winners of the Olympics, laurel for the Pythian, pine for the Isthmian, and, most thrilling of all, wild celery for the lucky victor of the Nemean Games. Apollo also established at Pytho, whose name he changed to Delphi, an oracle where anyone could come to ask the god or his appointed priestess, known sometimes as a Sibyl or the Pythia, questions about the future. In a trance-like state of prophetic ecstasy, the priestess would sit out of sight of her interrogator above a chasm in the ground, which channeled down to the womb of the earth itself, and call her ambiguous prognostications up into the chamber above, where the anxious petitioner awaited her proclamation. In this way, Apollo and the Sibyl were seen to draw their oracular powers in part from Gaia herself, Apollo's great-grandmother. Vapours were said to rise from beneath the ground that many took to be Gaia's actual breath. When the Pythia prophesied, she was possessed by the god Apollo, the titaness Themis, or the goddess Gaia, or perhaps all three. The Greek for divine possession is enthusiasmos, enthusiasm. To be enthused or enthusiastic is to be engodded, to be divinely inspired. The spring of Castalia bubbles up here, whose waters are said to inspire poetry in those who drink them or hear their whispers. Castalia is the name of the future world in Hermann Hesse's novel The Glass Bead Game. So, Delian Apollo became Delphic Apollo, too. People still travel to Delphi to ask him about their futures. I've done so myself. Apollo never lies, but nor does he ever give a straight answer, finding it amusing to reply with another question, or a riddle so obscure as only to make sense when it is too late to act upon it. The name Delphi is thought to derive from Delphis, meaning womb. Of course, it might be from Adelphi, which means siblings, because they come from the same womb. So perhaps the sacred place is named after Apollo the twin, perhaps after the womb of Gaia. There's another theory that suggests Apollo arrived at Pytho on a dolphin, Delphis in Greek. A dolphin is, after all, a fish with a womb. But how he could have travelled so far overland on a dolphin, I can't quite say. To atone for his grievous assault on the proper way of things, and to allow the slain Pytho to sleep the eternal sleep of death in the arms of his mother Gaia, Zeus finally fixed the serpent's resting place, the island of Delos, to the earth. While it no longer floats free, those who visit the island can testify to this day that it is tough to sail to, being beset by violent Etesian winds and treacherous Meltemi currents. Anyone who travels there is likely to suffer the most awful seasickness. It is as if Hera has still not forgiven Delos for the part it played in the birth of the Letoides, the glorious twins, Artemis and Apollo.